Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I wish to read to you a passage of Scripture which the Apostle Paul has written to the Church of God in the city of Corinth. This is found in the first epistle, 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. The Apostle Paul had gone forth proclaiming the gospel of Christ. He traveled from region to region, area to area, city to city, and he preached the marvelous news of Jesus Christ. As Paul speaks to these Corinthian Christians, the Church of God in the city of Corinth, he says to them that he wants to make known unto them the gospel. He has preached the gospel unto them. Jesus directed his apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The great design of God is that the gospel be preached, for it is by the gospel of Jesus Christ that humanity can be saved. Paul had preached unto them the gospel. They had received the gospel, meaning that they had believed, they had obeyed the gospel. The gospel of Christ must not simply be heard, but the gospel of Christ must be obeyed. You cannot simply sit from time to time and listen to the gospel being preached, but you must obey the gospel which you hear. You must live according to the gospel. The gospel must be received into the heart of every individual so that the gospel has the power to save your soul. They were standing in the gospel. We must continue to live according to the gospel. We hear the gospel preached, we receive or we obey the gospel, and we stand in the gospel. And Paul says, by which also ye are saved. The gospel has the power to save. Paul would write to the Romans at chapter 1 and verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This passage of Scripture, which Paul has written to the Roman church, says that the gospel is preached, that the gospel is believed, and the gospel will save. The gospel which is believed, the gospel which is obeyed, has the power to save. Do not simply listen to the preaching of the gospel, but obey the gospel. Live according to the gospel. Let your life be directed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that gospel will save you. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. We must keep the gospel in our memory. We must continue to live according to the gospel. From the day that the gospel is obeyed until the day we die, we must live according to the gospel of Christ. We must abide in the gospel. And then Paul says that the gospel is that which he has received. Paul received the gospel by revelation. God's Holy Spirit brought the gospel unto him. The gospel of Christ was not Paul's opinion. The gospel was not Paul's judgment. The gospel was not Paul's thinking. But rather the gospel which Paul preached he had received by revelation. And he says that the gospel is Christ died for our sins. Christ was buried and Christ arose again the third day. And then after Jesus had been crucified, buried and raised from the dead, he was seen of Cephas. And then he was seen of all the 12, And after that, he was seen of many, many other people, so that there were eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ is the good news of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. These are the three great truths of the gospel. And if you will hear these truths, if you will obey these truths, live according to these truths, continue in these truths all of your life, then God will save you in the final day. These three truths were preached by those early apostles. They were believed by the church of our Lord, and they must be preached and believed today by the church. The salvation of the human soul is established upon these three truths. Acts 10, 39 and 40, "And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly." Apostle Peter speaking to Cornelius and his household, and he tells him, "We are witnesses of all things that Jesus did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem." Peter gives an eyewitness testimony to the life of Jesus Christ. Peter speaks what he had seen with his eyes, what he had heard with his ears, and what the Holy Spirit had brought to his memory following the ascension of Jesus into heaven. Peter said, "We are witnesses that they slew him and hanged him on a tree." They crucified Jesus. Jesus died on a cross. Jesus died by crucifixion. And him God raised up the third day and then showed him openly. Jesus spent about 40 days following his resurrection before he ascended into the heavens, letting people see him and know that he had been raised from the dead. But Peter said, this is the truth of the gospel. Jesus died, Jesus was buried, and Jesus rose again. That's what faithful preachers preach today. That's what the gospel message is: the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. The gospel is the most powerful message that a man will ever hear. The gospel is the most precious message that one will ever believe. The gospel is the most precious message by which one will live his life and will direct his thinking and his conduct in this present world. For the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ has the power to save your soul and my soul and all who will believe it in every era of time. In Acts chapter 13, verses 28 through 30, "And though they found no cause of death in him," they could not find a reason for Jesus to die. He was sinless. He violated no law. He committed no offense. He hurt no one. Jesus was kind. He was good. He was merciful. He went about doing good. He helped all that came to him asking for help. He blessed humanity with a message that is so precious and so divine. It uplifts one's life. It renews one's heart. It invigorates one's spirit. And they found no cause of death in him. Yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. They could not find a reason for him to die, but they wanted him to die. For some reason, they hated Christ so deeply. Their hatred ran so deep in their heart that they wanted Pilate to crucify him. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree, laid him in a sepulcher, but God raised him from the dead. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus was a fulfillment of what God had spoken throughout the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 3 at verse 15, God had promised Adam and Eve that he would put enmity between his seed and her seed, between the seed of the devil and the seed of Mary. And then throughout the Old Testament, as the prophetic age announces the purpose of God, that Jesus would come into the world and that he would die for the sins of humanity. Everything that had been spoken in the pages of the Old Testament was fulfilled in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when that was fulfilled, what was written of him, they took him down from the tree. They laid him in a sepulcher. They buried him. God raised him. One day God will raise us. How will we stand with God in that day? When we are raised from the dead, when mortality has become immortality, when corruption has become incorruption, when death is swallowed up of life, how shall we stand with God? It will depend upon whether or not we have obeyed the gospel of Christ. It will depend entirely upon how we have responded to the message of truth which God desires be preached to all of humanity. Acts 26:23. Paul is speaking to Agrippa. He's giving a testimony of the life that he's lived, the response that he's made to Jesus, the commitment that he's made to the Christ, and the life that he's lived in preaching the truth of God, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Here are three passages of Scripture taken from the book of Acts, which show the three vital truths necessary for our salvation. Christ died, Christ was buried, and Christ arose from the dead. That is the message of the gospel. That is the message that you and I must hear, receive into our heart, obey in the life that we live. We must respond to the gospel in obedience so that the gospel can save us. The gospel being heard will not save. We must do more than simply listen. We must respond. We must obey. And these three truths, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, make us aware of three events that will occur in the life of every individual. All of us are common in these events. These three events will happen in every life. All of us in this world walk in different directions, follow different paths, live different lives. We marry different people. We have different families. We have different jobs. We live in different areas. But there are three events that is common to every man, that are common to every man. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ must make us aware of these three events. We shall die. All of us will die. Death is a part of life. Death cannot be avoided. Death cannot be undone. Death may be postponed through the marvels of science and medicine. Some individuals will live longer than other individuals. Some individuals will have better health than other individuals. Some people will have more success than other people. But nonetheless, we shall die. The rich will die, and the poor will die. The intelligent will die, and the ignorant will die. The learned and the unlearned will die. The social elite will die. And the poor will die. You will die. I will die. All of us will die. We do not like to talk about death. We do not like to think about death. Some of us perhaps do not even make any preparation for death. But nonetheless, death cannot be avoided. Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die. God has appointed that man will die. God has determined that those who live upon the earth will cease to live. Many of us have experienced death in one way or another. Perhaps we have buried our father, our mother, our grandparents. Some of us perhaps even have buried our children. We attend funerals. We read obituaries. We hear of death every day. Multitudes have died in war. Many die on the highways in horrible wrecks. Multitudes die in hospital beds. Some die in the quietness of home. Some die by some horrible event, while others may silently, in their sleep, be removed from life. But it is appointed unto man once to die, and he will only die once. You will not come back after you have died. There will be no other life for you upon this earth, nor for me. And it is appointed. God has determined that man will die. Some will die in their youth. Some will die in old age. And there are many forms and many fashions in which we die. But all of us wear the garment of death. The one business that never seems to see a decline in sales is the funeral home. Funerals are conducted daily in our world. Infants die and old men die. The young and the old die. The circumstances of our death will be different. But nonetheless, it is appointed that we die. It's a morbid subject. We think of death as something that is dressed in black, robed in darkness. We don't like to think about it. We don't want to discuss it. But what we must do is prepare for it. Because one day, one hour, death will come. We may be made aware of the time that we're going to die because of some disease that has invaded our body, and the doctor has given us an appointed time. Or it may come at an unexpected hour. And so we need to know that we're going to die and that we must prepare to die. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 2, a time to be born and a time to die. And every son and daughter of Adam will die. Every child that is born will one day die. There is a time appointed for death. 2 Peter 1, verse 14. The Apostle Peter said, "Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus hath showed me." Peter was aware that he was going to die. He was writing this epistle of the Lord to the elect of God, to people who believed in God, who had obeyed the gospel of Christ. But he was making them aware that the time was quickly coming when he was going to put off this tabernacle. We're going to move out of this tabernacle of the flesh. We live in this body. And this body becomes old and decrepit with the passing of time. You can see the aging in your life, even as I can see the aging in my life. And sometimes I feel old because I have lived many years upon the earth. But I know that the hour is coming in which I must move out of this old earthly house. I must put off this tabernacle of the flesh. That's a truth that the gospel of Christ teaches me. That's an event that I know that will happen in my life. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, "For we know that if the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved," and we know that's going to happen, "we know that we are going to die." "We shall die" is an event of which we are made aware by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus died, and we're going to die, but Jesus was raised, and we shall be raised. The Bible teaches that the dead will be raised. The hour will come when all of the tombs in every land will be opened, and all of the dead shall come forth. We turn to dust when we die, and that dust may have been scattered, but nonetheless, when the announcement is made by heaven, when the trumpet of God sounds, when the voice is heard, the graves will open and the dead will come forth. Jesus in John 5, 28, 29 said, "Marvel not at this, do not be amazed by this. For the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." You will die, and you will be raised, either to the resurrection of life or the resurrection of damnation. But every grave will be opened, and every mortal body will be brought forth from that grave by the power of the Almighty God. Jesus will speak. You remember at the tomb of Lazarus, he spoke and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus walked out of that grave. He'd been there 4 days. And Jesus will call us from the grave. 1 Corinthians 15, 21, 22. "For since by man came death, man sinned, and man died. By man also came the resurrection from the dead." Jesus died and Jesus was raised. And upon that truth, the resurrection is established. There is going to be a resurrection of the dead. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." In Jesus Christ, all will be made alive. Jesus conquered death. The fear of death has been taken away by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For the Christian, for the man of God, for the obedient. But there will also be a resurrection of damnation, Jesus said. Many will come forth from the grave only to be lost for all eternity because of the life that they have chosen to live, because of the sin in which they have chosen to be engaged, because of the disobedience that they have embraced. Not everybody is going to be raised to the resurrection of life because not everyone has obeyed the gospel and not everyone is going to obey the gospel. There will always be the rebellious and the disobedient. But Jesus has provided the opportunity in his resurrection from the dead for the safekeeping of our resurrection and for the security of our resurrection from the grave. At Acts 24 and verse 15, Paul said, "I have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." When men die, they are either just or unjust. They are either saint or sinner. They are either saved or lost. People today seem to have the idea that nobody is going to be lost, that nobody is unrighteous, that nobody is disobedient. But the Bible teaches that there will be a resurrection of the just and of the unjust. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? If he was able to create the world, if he was able to raise up Christ from the dead, then he's able to raise up you and me. And the third event that all of us will share is that we shall be judged. We shall die, we shall be raised, and we shall be judged. Jesus the Christ is going to judge us. He's going to judge the life that we've lived, the service that we have given to Him or that we have not given to Him. We either live for the world and for ourselves, or we live for Christ. And the choice is ours, and the gospel gives us that choice. And an individual can decide and choose how he will be judged and what that judgment will bring to him. At Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. We need to think about the judgment of God. Right now, you and I live under the banner of grace. There is mercy and forgiveness that flows from the throne of God. But in that day, there will be no mercy. There will be no forgiveness. There will be no opportunity. There will be judgment. And when an individual goes into the grave, his or her eternal fate is sealed forever and forever. We will be raised and be judged. Acts 17:30-31, the times of this ignorance is time of idolatry. They were serving idols. Men serve idols today. Idolatry is rampant in the world. It is amazing what individuals choose to serve and to what they are willing to render their souls. The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Change your life. Obey the gospel. The gospel will change you. The gospel shows an individual how God wants them to live, and how God wants them to serve, and how God wants them to worship. Because, why does God want us to repent? Because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised Him from the dead. The assurance of the judgment, the full confidence of the judgment, is that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. If Jesus has not been raised from the dead, then it doesn't matter how an individual lives. It doesn't matter whether he hears the gospel and obeys the gospel or he doesn't. But Jesus has been raised. The tomb was empty. It's the truth upon which faith is built and established. And by that man whom God has raised from the dead, he shall judge the world. And the eternal fate of humanity will be decided. In that day, in the judgment, God will decide whether a person goes to heaven or whether a person goes to hell. Now, sometimes people make that determination. They look at a person and they think, well, he was a pretty good fellow, lived a fairly good life, did some good things, and so he's gone to heaven, he's saved. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches obedience to the gospel. And Jesus is going to raise us from the dead, and He's going to judge us. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every single person shall stand in the presence of Jesus Christ to be judged. And we will receive the things done in the body according to what we have done, whether it be good or bad. The gospel is the revelation of three grand truths. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose again. And those three truths make us aware, or should make us aware, of three events. We shall die, we shall be raised, and we shall be judged. So what you and I must do in preparation for that is obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ, repentance from sin, confession of Jesus that He is the Son of God, be united with Him by being immersed or baptized in water, raised to walk in newness of life, live a life of faithful service to the Christ. And when we die, we will die with confidence of salvation. We will be raised with a hope of life, and we will be judged according to the goodness of our life. And Jesus will own us and crown us. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.